Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard. Happy Tuesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the three-hour deep space shindig. DA with you. From the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border, Anchorage to Atlanta, Boise to Buffalo, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Thanks so much for being with us. Big show coming up for you this morning with the injury to Ben Roethlisberger. Does this put his career in peril? He's done for the season. Drew Brees, thumb injury. How long will he be out? How effective can he be this season? Nick Foles out, broken clavicle. When might we see him back? All of these questions surrounding big-time players in the NFL. And so today we'll go inside the health, the rehab, the information that you need to have some sense of these guys and how they can return, when they can return. David Chow is a 17-year NFL team doctor, worked for the Chargers for more than a decade and a half. He's going to join us coming up here on the show in approximately 35 minutes from now. Also, hour number two, Carter Blackburn, college football voice, CBS Sports, is going to join us. Always fun to have Carter drop on by the program. We'll talk college football with him 1 hour from now. It's also a Trash Tuesday this morning, everybody. And so who or what are you trashing? Hit us up on the phones with your trashes at 855-212-4CBS. Or on Twitter, get at me with your trashes, DA on CBS. Elsewhere this morning, we'll hear from Chip Kelly as he discusses just why his new offense at UCLA is so brutal. We'll also talk about Jalen Ramsey's trade request. We shall discuss the Pittsburgh Steelers grabbing Minka Fitzpatrick and much, much more this morning. But we begin last night on Monday Night Football, where the Cleveland Browns get a 20-point victory, 23-3. The Cleveland Browns coming into the season, big-time expectations, get the victory. That's their first win of the season. After looking dreadful in week number one and getting blown out by the Titans, that's a good rebound. The Browns were favored. The Browns were on the road. The Browns were supposed to win. The Browns are the better team this year, and the Browns ended up winning. And really, throughout this game, especially once Trevor Siemian went down, the sense was the Jets had no chance. So Cleveland did what Cleveland was supposed to do. And in many ways, that's a win in and of itself, because how long has it been since we just said, well, Cleveland's supposed to win and they took care of business? So that's just like a first step in the right direction for that franchise. Right off the bat, that's a different kind of Browns. Supposed to win, did win, won by 20 points, on the road, see you later. So that's a good step forward. And Odell Beckham turning a 10-yard slant pattern into an 89-yard touchdown was a thing of beauty. His one-handed catch down the sideline opening up the game was also a thing of beauty. Odell can be exhausting, but Odell, when he is doing dynamic things like that, is just a marvel to watch. Also, Myles Garrett, another couple of sacks last night, did take a couple of penalties, but the pass rush was in the kitchen of the Jets quarterbacks all night long. So, hat tip to the Browns for getting it done after three decades of never getting it done. But I have to say, the big takeaway for me last night was not Cleveland. The big takeaway last night was the Jets. And just how disorganized and thin and unimaginative and broken that team seemed to be. Now, part of this clearly is being down to your third quarterback. I mean, once you lose Sam Darnold to mono of all things, your hopes get dashed quite a bit. But it's not like they don't have pretty decent skill position players. It's not like they didn't sign in the offseason one of the most dynamic backs in the NFL. And even last week with Sam Darnold in the game, the Jets offense looked totally scattershot. And I have to ask this question. Watching Adam Gase on the sideline last night with absolutely no answers, none. And again, going down to your third string quarterback is a huge problem for any head coach. But, you know, Bill Belichick was down to Jacoby Brissett and won a football game with a quarterback that basically wasn't allowed to throw a forward pass. I have to ask this question. Watching week one when Sam Darnold was in, watching last night before Trevor Siemian got hurt, thinking about Adam Gase's teams in Miami, when did Adam Gase ever become an offensive genius, quote-unquote, to get this job? It is where we begin your cold open.
Baker Mayfield is in the shotgun with Chubb at his side with the first and 10. Fakes the handoff. He throws to Odell. Beckham Jr. catches in the 25. Foot race to the 30. On the hash mark, the 40. Foot race to the 50. From the 40. On the numbers, the 30. Breaks the tackle, 20. Down the near sideline, 10. 5. Touchdown. Odell Beckham Jr.
Unfortunately for you guys, I don't read anything. Don't pay attention to any of this stuff. So, I mean, it's hard for me to comment on stuff that I don't really pay attention to.
Well, you know, he did kind of give. Were you aware of that comment?
I mean, I was told about it, but I really don't care.
They used it as bulletin board material, and the team kind of tweeted out the quote with a picture of Dell scoring. So is it annoying kind of when a coach gives them that?
No, because, I mean, we got to go do our job. Coaches, players, we just got to do a better job of what we're doing.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
Kevin Harlan, Westwood One last night. That was Adam Gase after the game being asked about his defensive coordinator, Greg Williams' comments of Odell who? And of course, Odell turning in a huge game, including an 89-yard touchdown, which broke open the win for the Browns. And Adam Gase, I just don't ever look at and go, yeah, that's the guy I want running my organization. That's the leader of my franchise. And how can you not look at him and say that's a crazy man? I mean, when he is at the podium for his introductory press conference and his eyes are darting all over the place, when Adam Gase is kind of openly combative with the media after dreadful losses, when Gase is talking out of both sides of his mouth, I didn't hear anything about it. Well, I heard about it, but I don't care. When Gase is, the one thing he's got is he's got Peyton Manning in his corner. Peyton Manning goes to bat for Adam Gase. Adam Gase apparently had a great working relationship with Peyton Manning in Denver. If the only thing you got is Peyton Manning saying this guy is great with quarterbacks, you got to be great with quarterbacks. And week number one, I get it. It's only 1 week. But Sam Darnold looked like he had regressed. And last night, that offense had absolutely no imagination whatsoever, even when Trevor Siemian was in there. None whatsoever. And when you date back to Gase's Dolphins years, basically there's one good season, and that was his first season. And they randomly went 10-6 with Ryan Tannehill. But after that, I mean, last year was a sub-500 season. There was the Jay Cutler year, which was just a nightmare anyway. This year starts to be a nightmare. I don't understand how Adam Gase can go into any interview room and win the interview. I don't get it. I absolutely cannot see any part of him that you go, that's the guy. And I got to think Jets fans wake up this morning going, yep, we're one and done with this head coach. He's going to make one season. I mean, granted, Sam Darnold's going to be out a couple of games this season. But does this Jets team feel like a Jets team that's going to be better than 6-10? Is this going to be a Jets team that actually is more like 3-13, 4-12? Is this a Jets season that's going to be one of those Rich Kotite 2-14s? Because if it is, the only reason he's brought in here is because you're trying to develop Sam Darnold. You've signed Le'Veon Bell. There was friction at the top between the coach and the GM, and they wanted to streamline it. But the coach has to be the right coach. And if the coach is a disaster with the media, if the coach has these weird bug eyes that you can't track down what he's looking at when he's looking at it, if the coach becomes kind of a punchline and the coach doesn't have an offense that he's supposed to build, what do you have? The only thing I can think, why would Peyton Manning stake his reputation to this guy? The only thing I can think is that Adam Gase really does sleep like 4 hours a night. He really is at the facility for 16 hours. And he watches more film than any other coach that Peyton Manning's ever been around. And maybe one-on-one, behind the scenes, working with a quarterback, maybe he can be fine. But that's not his job right now. His job is to run an organization. Maybe Peyton Manning looks at Gase and says, that's the only guy I've ever known that watches more film than I do. And maybe that's how he earned Peyton Manning's respect. But aside from Peyton Manning going to bat for Adam Gase, what is Adam Gase? Watching last night, that was a train wreck. And is that going to get better? I mean, next week the Jets have the Patriots? What is that? Is that 45-10? If that's Luke Falk in there, because I think Trevor Siemian broke his ankle. I mean, that thing was nasty. What is next week against the Patriots? Honestly, is it 50-3? Is it 55-10? Is it 42-0? I mean, I just can't look at last night's game and think anything but, God, Adam Gase is in over his head. And he looks really weird and speaks really weird at post-game podiums and during the week. I mean, this week he couldn't even address his starting quarterback by name. 14, out, mono. The guy's your starting quarterback. Could you imagine if Belichick went to the podium? 12, out, elbow. 12. Oh, do you mean Tom Brady? No? Okay. Could you imagine Sean Payton going to the podium? 9, out, thumb. Huh? What? Here's your phone number. 855-212-4CBS at the phone number. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. Mraz, when did Gase become a quote-unquote genius? An offensive genius is what he was hailed as, a guy that can save the quarterback.
Because he has the best front man, wingman, whatever you want to call him, of all time, and Peyton Manning.
It's just about Peyton Manning.
Yeah, I couldn't even tell you Adam Gase's agent is, but it could be Peyton Manning, because anytime he gets hired, it's because Peyton Manning vouched for him, and then words Peyton Manning hold power in this league. Frankly, I have to question Peyton Manning now as far as what the heck does he see in Adam Gase?
Last night was so gross, and this NFL season's already getting rocky, real rocky. Forget even the Patriots part of things. Who wants to celebrate NFL 100 with Teddy Bridgewater, Luke Falk, Gardner Minshew, and Mason Rudolph? Because this is what we're talking about. And there's a lot of Steelers games coming up on primetime. What's this week's Thursday nighter?
Titans-Jags. Gardner Minshew versus the Titans.
Minshew versus Mariota coming up. Then Monday night is Chicago, Washington. That's a Trubisky versus Case Keenum.
Big time Monday nighter.
And we have multiple Mason Rudolphs coming up here on primetime because the Steelers are always very popular in primetime, and now they don't have Big Ben.
Week 4, Sunday night, you get the Teddy Bridgewater Saints facing the Cowboys.
When does it end?
With the Patriots hoisting Lombardi. I told you, the season's over. Oilers Canucks preseason last night. Get on board.
Get me to the AFC title game, Mahomes versus Belichick. All right, so when we come back, the Steelers lose Big Ben for the season, and pull off a big trade. They trade away a first-round draft pick for a defensive player. Does this make any sense? We'll answer that next. Trash Tuesday, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
And next time you come here, DA, with your wife, we will go on a double date. We will go to the Town Tavern where you can get good burgers, maybe some shrimp cocktail or something like that.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Good burgers.
Where you can get good burgers.
Good burgers.
Maybe some shrimp cocktail.
23 minutes past the hour, DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Hey, check out the DA show in video form, won't you? You can watch it at your desk at work. You can watch it on your phone. You can watch it on your tablet or your smart TV. Just go to watchda.com and eat good burgers.
Do all of the aliens that love me
get good burgers?
Where you can get good burgers.
The Player of the Week brought to you by Granger. Taking a look at the one who got it done this week, Odell. 6 catches, 161, and his 89-yard touchdown. That put away the Jets for good. Odell warming up wearing a $2 million watch last night. And apparently an illegal visor. He can afford good burgers.
Where you can get good burgers.
He also had an amazing one-handed catch last night to open up the game. Or very early in the game that set up the Browns' first field goal of the night. The Player of the Week brought to you by Granger. Granger's got your back when it comes to the safety industrial supplies that keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it. Granger.com. I'm sure the Browns, after a win, enjoyed some shrimp cocktail.
Maybe some shrimp cocktail.
On the flight home from New York. Hurricane Jen is just the gift that keeps on giving. After the show yesterday, I went back and I listened to Hurricane Jen's last phone call. And it's just a rambling 5 minutes of delight.
Tom Brady. I'm tired of him.
It's just so good on so many levels. I am listening to this yesterday after the show, and I'm just pulling my favorite pieces of audio to have immortalized in the system. And I am audibly laughing at the newsroom desk for like 20 minutes straight.
We've had some Twitter affairs here and there.
Here and there.
Where you can get good burgers.
I would love a double date with Hurricane Jen and one of the Ryan brothers. I don't know who she's dating these days.
And I'm a cute little wild redhead. Don't you forget that, DA.
And all of this happens with a barnyard sound effect behind it that Bilotti was piping in during the phone call.
Really active farm.
So yesterday, in the middle of the Monday night massacre that was for all of us watching that pretty much, the Pittsburgh Steelers trade for Minkah Fitzpatrick, who has only been in the league a couple of seasons, a first-round draft pick out of Alabama 2018 by the Miami Dolphins. And Minkah apparently was one of those guys that says, I'm out of here. Get me out. After the first two debacles for Miami. Now, the problem in Miami was Minkah Fitzpatrick felt like they were using him or misutilizing him in all these different positions, that he's really just a defensive back and stop making me try to play in the box, linebacker position, what have you. So it was a little jarring to see during the show last night the Steelers part with a first rounder for a defensive player after they just lost Ben Roethlisberger. One could understand if they had just traded for a quarterback, but instead they traded for a defensive player. And this is really interesting because this is a real departure for the Steelers. They never, ever, ever trade away their ones. They have used their number one draft pick for like a million years straight. So why do this now? A lot of people made fun of it, including myself at the time. I really actually wanted, to be honest with you, for ESPN to cut away from what was a pretty dreadful game for full analysis of the Minkah Fitzpatrick trade. I thought that'd be more interesting. But what the Steelers are doing, the more that I looked at it, the more that I thought actually made some sense. Roethlisberger goes down week number two. Now you've got Mason Rudolph in there for the foreseeable future. Unless something dramatic happens and he goes down with an injury or something unforeseen happens, Mason Rudolph is your starting quarterback this season for the Steelers. And the Steelers have, with great effort, tried to build up the defense over the last 5-6 years. They have not used a first-round pick on an offensive player, I believe, since 2012. You know, Le'Veon Bell was a second-rounder. Antonio Brown was a sixth-rounder. They have tried to bring in tons of defensive help. And I think what they've seen in their organization, and the Steelers have done this great, they have found offensive weaponry late in the draft. And they have always felt like they can let those guys go and find the next guy. You know, Juju Smith-Schuster, again, not a first-round pick. James Conner, not a first-round pick. The guys that end up taking over for guys that leave are almost always undervalued players that they found in the draft and developed. But they have not been able to get the defense right, really since, gosh, this decade. Certainly since 2010, the last time they were in a Super Bowl. It has been a really offensive-heavy team. So the family, the Rooney family, and the organization has said, let's stress defense. And, you know, the more that I look at this, the more that I actually kind of like the deal. Because, number one, Minkah Fitzpatrick is a first-round draft pick in his second year. So he's got almost the entirety of his rookie deal left, right? He's only 2 weeks into year number two. So you've got a bulk of his rookie contract left. You are trading a first rounder for a guy that was a first rounder just a year ago. So it's not like you're getting bad value there. It's not like you're trading away a first round draft pick for a guy that was drafted in the fifth round or the third round last year. It's a one coming up for a one last year. And the other part of this is I think the Steelers are going, look, if we don't do anything, the season's probably lost. And maybe the season's lost anyway. But if we double down to the defense, and I believe now this starting defense has 10 first-rounders on it. I think the Steelers now have 10 first-round draft picks on the defense. They're going to go, let's win with defense and running the football and at least make this season interesting. If we don't do anything and Big Ben is down, everybody basically leaves Steeler Nation in mass and says, we'll see you in 2020 because the season's over. What they're saying is, at quarterback, we might be serviceable, but at defense, we can be great. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad play here. Again, you're not mortgaging the future for this if it doesn't work. You're giving up a one for a first rounder from last year. It's not like he's on the final year of a deal. It's not like he's a 30-year-old safety. You know, Minkah Fitzpatrick's 2 games into year number two of his career. And if you utilize him correctly, which is always a question in Pittsburgh, whether these guys are utilized correctly. But if he is, you have added a real playmaker to a defense that now has to carry the way. I think the question, which is a totally fine one in Pittsburgh, should be, can you win with a defensive-heavy strategic output here? Is it that in 2019, you can actually win if you only have a serviceable quarterback and a great defense? I mean, I guess you would point to the Jaguars of 2 years ago, and I think that's what the Steelers are trying to get at. Let's have a great defense. Let's double down on a great defense, and let's see if that can carry the day, and Mason only has to be serviceable. I don't mind that play. I really don't. I don't mind that play, especially in the AFC, because look, am I predicting the Steelers to go to the Super Bowl? No. I do not think that they have any chance of getting to a Super Bowl with Mason Rudolph as their quarterback. But in this AFC, outside of the Patriots and the Chiefs, nothing is for granted. Nothing you can take for granted here. Nothing. Who else is good? In the AFC right now, who's the third best team in the AFC? Is it the Ravens? Maybe? I mean, people thought...
Bills?
Could it be the Bills? the Texans, the Chargers. You do not have the Browns. You do not have anybody great aside from the Patriots and the Chiefs. So the Steelers are going, let's be great on defense and see if we can crash the party that way. I don't mind this play. I really don't. People are going to kill it today because it's not a solution at quarterback, but it actually makes sense. 855-212-4CBS, the phone number. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, the Big Ben injury, the Nick Foles injury, the Drew Brees injury. Now, the Trevor Siemian injury. What do we know? What can we expect from timelines on these guys? We'll talk to a guy who's been a team doctor in the NFL for 17 years. The renowned David Chow is going to join us next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
I got to tell you, brother, I'm so happy that for the last 2 weeks when I was in Cancun, I was able to keep up with the DA show on WatchDA.com. Great job by Kaplan.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
We got that simulcast cooking right now. The Wizard of Watch DA is pushing those buttons, pulling those levers. He's got a beautiful, live and sparkling Technicolor broadcast going on as we speak, available on any device. And you can always watch the clips as well on YouTube after the show is over today. Also, now our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. A quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com. In 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. It is a Trash Tuesday. So let's get to some of your trashes here. Opie tweets, I'm trashing crazy-eyed Adam Gase and his lack of coaching offense last night. He made it look like Rich Kotite came out of retirement just for this season. I ride and die with the Jets. Send your condolences later. But hashtag get him out.
Warm, sizzling garbage.
It begs the question last night. How did Adam Gase ever get the reputation as an offensive guru? But he did lose his quarterback to an ankle injury last night that really looked very, very bad as it happened. It looked like a broken ankle. But apparently he was able to walk off the field, Trevor Siemian, getting an MRI today. But I'm guessing it's going to have to be some damage there because that was really a gruesome hit that when you saw it in slow motion made you turn away. There's a lot of quarterbacks that have gone down now, and we're going to lean in on a guy that's been around an NFL team for a number of years. He spent 17 years as a team doctor in the NFL. He's one of the most respected names and voices in the sports medical community. Dr. David Chow joins us this morning on the show. Doctor, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thrilled and privileged to be on.
Thanks so much for being with us. And I don't know about this show ever being a privilege to be on, but we appreciate the respect anyway. I do want to ask you about some of these prognosis, some of the diagnosis for what we have here. Let's start with Ben Roethlisberger. When he takes himself out of a game without actually being hit, and it's just after throwing a football, did you have a sense that that was a really bad injury that potentially could take him out for the season?
Instantaneously, no. But as the evidence was coming in, that's what I wrote about, that was a realistic possibility. And here's what I mean. When a quarterback just winces a little bit, finishes the series, comes out, has a casual conversation with the head team physician and the athletic trainer, walks in solo to the locker room, almost like he's going to the bathroom, comes back out without a wrap on the elbow, not a lot of fanfare and whatever, and then just sits there. You don't think it's that bad or that big of a deal because they're all so calm about it. But what I think happened, and this has been revealed now, Mason Rudolph knew about an elbow issue. Other teammates talked about a previous elbow issue. And if you really go back and look at the video of the non-trauma injury, when it first happened on the field, Big Ben grabbed his elbow and looked knowingly at the sideline, not with panic, but more just like, yep, here we go. This is, it happened. kind of deal, what we were worried about. And the nonchalance on the sideline was understanding that this was a possibility going in. So, yeah, on Sunday I did talk about it and write about it, that ulnar collateral ligament reconstruction, Tommy John surgery, is a realistic possibility, and it seems to be coming true.
37 years old. He'll be 38 in March. He'll miss this entire season with this surgery. Is this the type of surgery at his age that he can come back from and be just as good? And what's the timeline for coming back and playing football after a Tommy John?
Well, the timeline is well known after baseball players. I mean, it's up to a year, right? So that pushes on next season.
Right.
Football is a little bit different. The most recent comp for a Tommy John ligament in a quarterback, at least one that's known in the general population, is actually Jake Delhomme in 2007. And before that, it was perhaps Bernie Kosar. So that's, they're few and far between. Jake Delhomme did well afterwards. It's a N of one, so it's hard to say absolutely. Throwing a football is in some ways easier than throwing a baseball. There's no mound. You're not really full thrust with your legs and back and extra torque. And the majority of throws are not at 100% maximum or 95% velocity. There's a lot of touch involved. And I've always said the biggest attribute of a quarterback is not his shoulder or throwing strength and his arm, but really his mind, right? And knowing when and where to throw. So Big Ben has a reasonable chance to come back, but it won't be this year.
Dr. David Chow, 17 years as an NFL team doctor, joining us this morning here on the show. Drew Brees is the other one, future Hall of Famer, injures his hand, hitting it on Aaron Donald's hand, and that's a thumb, and that's the thumb that he grips a football with. What would be your guess at how long rehab might take for him to be able to squeeze a football and throw it again?
Yeah, you make a very good point that most people would say, well, he hit his thumb on his hand, Aaron Donald's hand. I get it's Aaron Donald, and I get his hand is swiping at him and what have you, but why would this do so much damage? Here's why. You know, when players wear these gloves, they're pretty sticky. There's no, it's not like when you hit a helmet, the helmet is hard, but your thumb or hand slides off because it's slick. There's a lot of grip on these things, and it basically catches his thumb and then torques it, and thus is the damage to the ligament. The good news here is that the recovery is actually fairly reliable. The good news here is that surgery actually speeds up that recovery and timeline and makes it predictable. I fully expect Drew Brees to be back at about the six-week mark. I fully expect him to be back to where he was for the entire second half of the season. So for those writing the Saints off, I saw on ESPN last night some odds of Super Bowl. Saints went from 8-1 to 25-1. Look, they got to stay alive during this period where Drew isn't there. But if they do and they're in contention for the playoffs, I'll bet those odds drop back down again because you're going to see a good Drew Brees in the second half of the season.
Last night we saw Trevor Siemian in for Sam Darnold, out with mononucleosis. What's the diagnosis on that? How long does mono keep a guy sidelined? Because this is such a rarity as well in the NFL.
Yeah, and it's rare in you know, someone who's, I think, 24, right? I mean, it does happen, but believe it or not, when it happens to you when you're older, it can actually hit you harder. And so when news broke last Thursday that Darnold was out for Monday Night Football due to mono, I immediately said, he's out for a lot more than that. He's going to miss at least all of September, hopefully can be back in October. He for sure will be back in November, and here's why. First of all, the Jets got to get him out of the building because of the contagiousness of it. Can't infect the whole team, number one. Number two, acute symptoms can be pretty severe. Look, if it's routine to miss classes, you're certainly going to miss NFL practice, right? I mean, if it saps that much energy. And the other danger of NFL football is an enlarged spleen and or enlarged liver that comes with mono. And if those internal organs extend down beyond or below your rib cage, and obviously as a quarterback you're open to hits, that could be very dangerous. I won't be so dramatic as to say deadly, but you don't want to lacerate your spleen and end up having to have your spleen taken out with surgery, et cetera. So that's why he will not be back until October at the earliest. But think about this. We've probably all known people who've had mono or heard of people, or you had it when you were young. I mean, it's not uncommon to miss 3-4 weeks of class. And some college students will even drop out of college for a semester or a quarter because of that. Well, that's just attending class. This is NFL football. This is why it'll be October at the earliest before we see Sam Darnold.
Dr. David Chow joins us this morning on the show. He was an NFL team doctor for 17 years. Can I ask, what are the ways you can contract mono?
Well, it's from close contact, okay? Everyone says kissing. You know, obviously, that's not what we're talking about here. I mean, you know, sharing water bottles can get it to just anything, close quarters, towels, other things. I mean, just close quarter stuff, which is what a team is. So it can be spread a number of ways, and it's not just, quote, the kissing disease.
Nick Foles is out. He has surgery to repair his collarbone. What's his prognosis? How long is he going to be out for?
Book it. He'll be back week 11, and this is why I am so definite on week 11. Of course, assuming that Gardner Minshew doesn't completely take his job, right?
Right, okay.
Assuming he doesn't get, I'll use it as a verb, Foles, right? I mean, what Foles did to Carson Wentz.
Yes.
But here's why week 11, book it. First of all, I thought he could return at about 6 to 8 weeks. The Jaguars put him on injured reserve, and maybe that's justified because in 2014 he already broke that collarbone, so there may be things that I don't know about. So that takes him out through week 9. Week 10 is a bye week. Week 11 is the week that the Jacksonville Jaguars will get Nick Foles back, period, end of discussion. This is his non-throwing shoulder. He's going to be practicing before then and chopping at the bit. He will be ready to go week 11.
This is great. David Chow joins us this morning on the show. Carson Wentz was also hit in the game on Sunday night. Came up wincing, looked like it was his ribs. Wentz has had a injury history. Should we be worried that this is going to affect Wentz throughout this season?
Well, if he takes this many hits, he's going to get this and more. I'm not particularly worried about this, quote, rib contusion or injury or what he got, but he got pretty beat up in week two here, and in week one and even week two somewhat, Deshaun Watson got pretty beat up. I don't see how you can last 16 games taking all of these hits. I don't care how big or strong that you are. You're playing Russian roulette and playing with fire here. So, yes, he's tough, and no, he's not injury prone, but that's a lot of punishment to go through 16 games of.
David Chow joining us this morning on the show, former NFL team doctor for more than 17 years, and he works with ProFootballDoc.com. And when you have fantasy teams and you're throwing some money around for football weekend and looking at lines, et cetera, it's really good to have this information and this knowledge about the league, and you're writing and working for ProFootballDoc.com. How's it going?
It's going great, and one of the most exciting things we have there is an injury index that we put up at least 24 hours before each game, besides the in-game information. And the injury index is a matchup-based health score for a team. Look, everyone... Look, you can say whether the Jets have a good team or a bad team, or last night Cleveland has a good team or a bad team, but do you really know what the real injuries are? I'm not grading teams. I'm grading their health status. And last night it was very clear that the Jets' pass offense rated a D or D+, and their run defense, because of their injuries, rated a D. And that's kind of how the game worked out a little bit. So that's kind of what we do. It's probably useful for fantasy DFS or states where gambling is legal. But it's matchup-based injury information that you can't get anywhere else.
David Chow, you can follow him on Twitter, at ProFootballDoc. This is great. Thanks so much, Doctor, for joining us. Hopefully we can do this again this season.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
You got it. Dr. David Chow joining us this morning on the show. And I have to be honest, I was a little hesitant. I was a little skeptical when Mraz told me he was booked. Usually doctors are not good interviews. And usually the doctors don't know a ton about the football aspect, the X's and O's. And so I didn't know how that was going to sound. Dr. David Chow is great.
Book it.
That was great.
Book it.
I'll book it again.
I mean,
period, end of discussion.
Book it.
He's got his own catchphrase in Book It. He's guaranteeing the weeks that guys will come back. He's saying, Book It, Foles is back week 11. That's very certain. He's also giving us the Drew Brees is going to be great second half of the season. He's telling us how you can get mono. I mean, the guy's got everything, and he knew what was going on. I mean, he's watching football. He knew that Carson Wentz had the snot beat out of him on Sunday night.
What you had here was an undrafted rookie free agent out of whatever college coming up as a DA show guest, and he's made the 53. We will hear Dr. David Chow again on this show.
Dr. David Chow he flashed in the preseason,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
He just made some plays.
And does everything. Plays special teams, plays offense, he's everything.
He just flashed. That was big. That was really big for some depth during football season, guest-wise. We know Mraz runs out of guests really quickly during football season, which is why we're going to have two of my best friends this week join us on the show. Carter Blackburn, one of the voices of college football on CBS, the CBS Sports Network, is going to join us coming up here next. And after UCF's impressive dominance over Stanford and Boise State's impressive first couple of weeks, which Group of Five team has the best chance at crashing the party? We'll talk to Carter about that coming up here next, and more college football. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Period. End of discussion.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.